Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Weekly Pint. This is it's a live show, just so you're aware of that. If you're listening via the podcast feed, you're not having as much fun as we are right now in this moment. So next time you should probably tune in live on Monday nights around 9:30-ish, because right now it's 9:45, which last time I checked is definitely not 9:30, but it's not a show, so it's okay. We can get away with things like that. So regardless, welcome. Thanks for hanging out. However you choose to engage with the show, I appreciate it. It's kind of like a happy hour. It's an excuse for me and you to sit down via the internet, this wonderful thing, and have a drink together. You don't have to drink beer. However, we encourage beer or booze or something, as you'll see in a minute. Like, usually we drink something else. But whatever it is you choose to crack open, please tell us what it is. As you get on the chat, wherever you're chatting, I'm trying to keep up on all the chats. It doesn't matter if you're on Facebook or YouTube. I've got it all. I've got it all in front of me, and I can see what you're saying. Unless you're doing smoke signals, I cannot see the window from here. However, well, I don't have a whatever. And I just realized that I didn't plug the drink cam in. I plugged the power cord in, but the video is not plugged in, so we can't even turn the drink cam on. That is boring. But as you get on, tell me what it is that you are drinking. Let me scroll back in time, and we will see. Let's see. Marco is having a Ziegler. That is a Oktoberfest from Mad Tree, for anybody that is not aware. Julia had a Costalo earlier and now is having a Smorty Jr. from Listerman. I don't think we're supposed to mix weed waters and beer. I think that's like your face will explode or something. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Jeremy is having Little Kings. I can support that. Eric has just finished a Getting Twisted. And then Joe is having a New Riff Rye Whiskey. That's a good little mix of things that people are drinking tonight. I will add to that. It's also very distracting. I have the feed that is going to the Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery News. For any of you who are tuning in up north, welcome. You're like 20 seconds, maybe 20 seconds behind this feed that I'm seeing. So I can see my camera over here 20 seconds delayed. Eh, it's not 20 seconds. Let me see. Yeah, it's got to be 20 seconds. It's still not there yet. Still not there yet. Still not there yet. Wait for it. Wait for it. Still, there it is. Yeah, that's more than 20 seconds. It's really distracting because I'm like watching myself in the past. okay. Chris is having a Third Eye, the Drittis Aug. I don't even know how to pronounce it. The Märzen. I am well stocked on Oktoberfest. I think at this point I'm up to close to 20 of them, if not 20. I promise the competition is progressing. I'm trying to figure out how to. I had this idea in my head. I'll tell you what. Let me drink something before we dive into that part. Let's get a tiny little glass here. You know what we're talking about. It's the schnappening, and the drink cam is not operational, so we'll have to do it the old-fashioned way. I've had this on the show, but it sounded tasty tonight. This is Eric Brune. I don't even know. It tastes like licorice, if I remember right. I actually don't remember anything about this other than the fact that it is really boozy and really tasty. Chris says that Third Eye has two of them. Yes, they have a mixed six-pack of both of their Oktoberfests. I'm going to try to not pour too much of this because that's probably too much. It's fine. It's fine. Ooh, I can smell it already. Yeah, it smells like Sambuca or Ouzo, something like that. You're probably supposed to put water in this, and I don't have any. It's in the other room. It's fine. It's fine. What are they going to do? It still smells good. It smells fruity and licorice-y. All right. Let's do this. So, Oktoberfest Quest, as I'm drinking this tasty schnappening. Oh, yeah, that's hot. It's boozy. Oh, but it's like candy. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it warms you up on the inside, which is fitting because today it's a little chilly outside for me. It's like it grabs your, your esophagus, grabs it just like this, and it squeezes it, and then it catches it on fire. Ooh, that's good. That's tasty. And then dumps a bunch of candy in the space where your esophagus was. That's so good. All right. Oktoberfest quest, before I get too distracted. I have a lot of Oktoberfests in this house. And I had this idea this year that I was going to be like really organized about it. This happens every year that I have some bright idea that doesn't work out. It's going to be really organized. I was going to roll through them, get them all in stock, and then really kick through round one, just one after the other. And they were going to be all short videos in like a playlist. And just like every day there would be like two of them until round one was done, and then immediately jump into round two and just kick through those. And it was a great idea until, again, there were like, so far there's been two breweries that I thought I was going to be able to get a hold of their Oktoberfest, went there and couldn't get a hold of their Oktoberfest yet for various reasons. And it messed up the entire scheduling and everything. I don't know. I'm gonna wing it again. Everything will be done by the first week, second week. Is that the first week or the second? First full week of October. I promise it'll be ready to go. I still don't have the finals booked. I guess that's an email I need to send tomorrow. That needs to happen. It's kind of amazing that it always ends up a little chaotic. Also, why is my internet fighting me right now? Let's see. Oh, Lord. I thought we had all of our internet issues fixed. That looks fixed to me. Maybe it was just the beginning or something. Oh, no. Okay. Why is it always something? I keep thinking that one of these years I will figure out the proper way to do Oktoberfest Quest, and then be it logistics on my end or logistics on someone else's end, it just never ends up the way you think it's going to. With that being said, I do want to mention, for all of you who have donated money to Oktoberfest Quest, I appreciate you. You have made it very, very much less painful this year. So thank you very much for those of you who have donated. All right, let's. I want to drink a beer. Full disclosure, I bought a beer tonight. I had to go to the grocery store right before the show. That's pretty much why the show was late. Among other things, which I don't know if I'll get into this week or not, but, I bought beer at like 9 PM and then I dumped it in a cooler full of ice water, trying to get it chilled in time to drink it on this show. It's right there. It's not a bucket of mystery, but it is a bucket of ice water. Just getting nice and cold. So I'm kind of delaying opening that beer so that it's nice and cold. I have a couple big things I want to talk about tonight, though. We can, as I'm drinking my schnapps, I guess we can jump into the first one. That would make sense. Let's do that. This is a story that I don't know how many people actually care about it. I think it's interesting kind of for perspective on the state of the industry and trying to understand the state of the industry. But it's about Mark Anthony Brands. For anybody that doesn't know Mark Anthony Brands, this is White Claw. They also own things like Cayman Jack. That's one of their brands. What else? What are their other brands? Mike's Hard Lemonade. As far as brands that are doing well for them, not Mike's Hard Lemonade, Mike's Harder Lemonade. It's like Mike's Hard Lemonade, just harder. That in itself is a good picture of the state of the industry. It's not funny, but they are in theory shutting down one of their facilities. They have three facilities right now. There's one in, actually I have to look this up to remember. There's one in Columbia, South Carolina. That's their biggest. Then there's one in Glendale, Arizona. And then there's one, their smallest one, in Hillside, New Jersey, I believe is the name of Hillside. Yeah, Hillside, New Jersey. That is the one that they are, in theory, shutting down. Now, they have not said that they are shutting it down. However, they had to file paperwork saying that they are going to lay off, 140 people, something like that, out of a facility that only employs 170 people. So either they have now hired a fleet of robots to make Mike's Harder Lemonade. Is that how you're supposed to say it? Mike's Harder. Either they've hired robots to do the work, or some people are losing their jobs. It's not really that surprising, considering that volumes have declined a little bit for them, and they're probably freaking out a little bit. Also, it's their smallest facility, so... it doesn't make sense. Before, what was it, like 2020, I think, was when Seltzer really started kind of exploding for them, and they started creating their own network of breweries. Before that, they were contracting, and life was good. And then when people wanted so much, all of a sudden it made sense for them to have their own facilities. Nobody understands what people want anymore, so... Evidently, people don't want Cayman Jack, or Cayman Jacked, if you remember that short video that I put out. That stuff was not good. I would drink this 9 times out of 10 over Cayman Jacked or Mike's Harder Lemonade. I've never had Mike's Harder Lemonade. I guess I can't say that. Chris says that he had a blood orange Mike's Harder this weekend. How was it, Chris? Was it worth the effort, or should I just have stuck with Eric Brune, or just White Claw? I never liked White Claw. I know that it kind of won the race between White Claw and Truly. I thought Truly tastes better. I think vodka seltzer tastes better than all of it, which is kind of what drinkers are agreeing with right now. That is so good, but it is so boozy. Like, it definitely needs watered down. Although, man, it is like this really cool candy flavor. if you went to Amish country and you bought a big bag of those little black licorice candies, you know, and then they handed you your bag of candy, and you turned around to walk out of the store, and then the nice man behind the counter called you back. He said, "Oh, I forgot something." "Oh, okay." Turn back around. "Let me see your bag of candy." And then he dumps some lighter fluid in there and lights it on fire, and then hands it back to you. And you just take this flaming bag of little tiny licorice bites, and then you sit out on the porch in a rocking chair, and you eat them while they're on fire. That's kind of what this tastes like. A hint of lighter fluid, not a lot. Most of that's burnt off, but it's still on fire. It's still hot. But candy.
It's good.
If that doesn't make you want to drink something, I don't know what will. Chris says that it was better than the Mountain Dew hard stuff. That isn't hard, though. I've only tried the Mountain Dew once, and I'm pretty sure I made a video about that, or maybe that was on one of these episodes or something. I thought it was good. Not good. Good is a relative term. I thought it tasted like Mountain Dew, which I think is the point of it. Northeast Ohio Craft Brewery News is jumping on, says, late getting on, just got done with a fantasy football draft. There's it might be some good football news happening this week. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit if we have time. But welcome. You're also, I'm pretty sure we did the math earlier, like 30 seconds behind us. So hello from the future. I don't know why. I think it's my internet. My internet was really weird at the beginning. So I think it made you later than you're supposed to be. I don't know how that works. I don't know math. Chris says, I did my first drain pour in a long time after opening and then three sips of a live wire. I did see when I was at the grocery store, I saw four packs of that live wire. I think that's the stuff I'm thinking of. Is that like the thing that looks like an energy drink, but it's not an energy drink? It's a booze. Let me look that up. Or is that just Mountain Dew? Live wire. What am I thinking of that's this booze stuff? All right, live wire, when I Google it, it just pulls up motorcycles. That's not helpful. What is the stuff I'm thinking of? No, is live wire just a Mountain Dew? I don't even know. What's the stuff I'm thinking of? Somebody help me out here. It looks like an energy drink. Chris says that is Mountain Dew. Yeah, that's like the orange Mountain Dew, live wire. What is the drink I'm thinking of? It looks straight up like an energy drink. It comes in like a plastic bottle. What is that stuff? I saw it at the store and it was like $4.99 for a four pack, and I almost bought it to throw in the bucket, and then I decided against it because it would have been four things of the same drink, and that's not fun because it's probably going to be gross. Somebody's got to know what I'm talking about. It's like Lightning Face. It's not Four Loko. It's like a shock drink. Oh, geez. Come on, Julia, Queen of Screens. You can figure this out. It's like Energy Man. It's like super alcohol. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It looks like what is the Prime? It looks like a bottle of Prime, but it's booze. She's furiously Googling, she says. I hope somebody is yelling at their phone or their car radio, wherever you listen to this or watch it right now, that knows the answer. I'm going to finish this Eric Brune, and then I'm going to open a beer. It tastes like amazing burning. Oof. I should Google too. We can figure this out together. We can do this. plastic bottle. Energy drink looking. Oh, goodness. Light Strike. Chris figured it out. That's it. Light Strike. That was close. Or as Marco says, Light Strike. Julia says Light Strike. You all win. 10 points for everybody. You guys write down your points. At the end of the game, you will you'll win a prize. You each have 10 points. Okay, before I open this beer. All right, well, no, not before. I'm going to open this beer, and then we'll dig into the big story that I want to talk about today, something I've been kind of trying to, I guess, figure out for a little while. Let's see if this thing is cold yet. Okay. This is the other bucket of mystery. This is a good bucket, though. It's just full of ice water. And one happy beer. Anybody have any guesses? This is a local beer. I will say it is a local collaboration. I'm spinning it around trying to get it even colder. Why, somebody guesses. If you need any more hints, let me know. I can tell you a style. I can tell you something about the artwork on the can. Julia says mounds of importance. That's a good guess. I would not be as stressed about that being cold, though. No, no. Ooh, Chris says the Highwire Braxton one. I wish I had my hands on that. Robert says Streetside IPA. No, but you're closer. It is an IPA. It is a fruited IPA from our friends over at Urban Artifact. And Fatheads, this is, what's it called? Does it have a name? Fruited IPA. I think that's what it's called. It's called Fruited IPA. I'm assuming somebody else has had this. Oh, Julia got it right after I pulled it out. I'm assuming you sent that before I did, but if not, I'll give you credit anyways. Julia, 1 point. All right, let's crack this thing open. I've been so excited to try this. Brittany is guessing well after I pulled it out of the bucket. Evidently, everything is like just behind. All right, hopefully this is cold now because I did my best. It's hazy, okay. It looks like orange juice. Okay, that's fine. Look, I'm not judging. I'm not judging yet, and I can't smell it yet. Artwork is fantastic as always. Wish the drink cam was active, but it is not because I'm an idiot. But the artwork's great. It says Urban Artifact Fatheads Brewery Fruited IPA with passion fruit, mango, guava fruits, and 2B. 2B, like the number 2, letter B. 2B, I think that's some kind of a hop. And strata hops. I'm assuming 2B is some kind of, I don't know, some kind of experimental something or other. Julia says she still has 3 cans in the fridge and she likes it. Okay. She also notoriously has terrible taste, so this is probably bad. All right. I'm going to get my nose in here. I can already smell it. It's danky. It's not like just from here. It's not tropical. It smells danky. All right. Let me see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like big, big, danky hops. Like I don't get a lot of fruit just in what I'm smelling. Ooh. All right. All right, we're going to taste it. Let's see. Mmm. Oh, holy smokes. That's good. Okay. That is not at all what I anticipated. That's a good fruited IPA. That sounds mean. That's not what I meant, guys. This is a great IPA. I was anticipating that the fruit would be so over the top. Like it's one thing for Urban to collaborate and make a non-sour beer, which, of course, we got to start with. Everybody says they can't do it because, as everybody knows, all of their tanks are sour because they messed everything up and they can't make non-sour beer, and that's why they make sour beer. That's a myth, by the way. They clearly can make non-sour beer. But this whole gimmick, and I say gimmick from a place of deep love, this whole gimmick of making fruited beer, they make heavily fruited beer, and a lot of them are, I would say almost all of them at this point, are so fruit forward that the beer is more about the fruit than it is anything else, which is great, and it's fine, and I buy a lot of it. That's what I thought this was going to be, and that's not at all what this is. This is like a good, clean IPA that uses fruit to support the hops that they chose to go in here. That's one of the more fun IPAs that I've had in a long time because of that. I had expectations of what I was going to be drinking, and it surprised me. Like, it's fun when a beer surprises you. It's fun when a beer surprises you in a good way. I've been surprised by some not great beers in my life, and this one's great. I hope some of that made sense. Yeah, it smells so like super danky, and looks like orange juice. I'm expecting orange juice, danky orange juice. Is that a thing? That's wild. Not wild. That's not a wild beer. That is wild in its perception to its actual presentation to my experience. That's great. That is a great beer. Hats off to both Urban and Fatheads for putting that one out. I wish we could see more things like this from Urban to kind of to stretch their wings into other realms when it's possible for them and to make it still make sense. Julia says that she thinks danky orange juice is a Costalo flavor. Maybe. All right, let's jump into the next topic. Before I drink too much of this IPA, what's the ABV on this? Yeah, 7%. I'm gonna start getting distracted really easily here. All right, I think it's this button here. Big Osas. This is what I am. This is what I am dubbing this Big Ash La Rosa's thing that is supposedly happening. We talked about this. I don't know when it was. I probably should have looked that up. I could probably click a couple things here and figure it out in my notes, but that's just way too much work at this point. The news was put out, I believe, I'm going to say May or June. Does that sound reasonable to everybody? I think it was around that time. Big Ash put out a post on social media, and it said, "Great news, everybody. Later this year, we will be closing our kitchen, and La Rosa's will be taking over our food program." And at the time, everybody was a little confused by it. Some people, there were like four people that were really excited about La Rosa's in the tap room, and then everybody else was like, "La Rosa's, really? What are you doing?" Myself included, I think I was maybe a little tough on them for bringing in La Rosa's, which I think is probably my least favorite thing that Cincinnati is known for. That's not true. My least favorite food that Cincinnati is known for. I think La Rosa, well, okay. I'm not a La Rosa's fan. I think it's fine. And, I think my kids probably like it. I think because it's not really pizza, but I'm going to go on a tangent. I'm going to rage against La Rosa's, and that's not the point of this. It's fine. La Rosa's is fine. If you love La Rosa's, that's fine, and I respect you for it. You can like whatever you like. There's better pizza, but the news that they were taking over the kitchen, I think, was strange for a lot of people, myself included. And I've been trying to figure out kind of what's going on with all of that and why that's happening and what that means for the future and what the tap room is going to look like and what the food is going to look like, what the service is going to look like, how that works for La Rosa's and for the tap room. Look, La Rosa's is like you sit down at a table. I had a long conversation with somebody. I don't know if he wants his name mentioned, but I had a long conversation the other day with somebody about this. Not a long conversation. We had a conversation, and he brought up a good point that when you go to La Rosa's, you sit down at the table and a server brings you your pizza. When you need another drink, the server brings you it's a very service-oriented business. And say what you want about La Rosa's, and I will say what I want about La Rosa's, that it sucks. They do that well, and that is it's a family place. You go there, you bring your family, you sit down at the table, you laugh, you form memories. It's like this. It's a very, very family centric place. Julia says I mentioned it in episode 265 from June 9th. There we go. It started me going down this rabbit hole of trying to understand what was going on. In the meantime, somebody on Reddit, shout out to the cesspool that is Reddit, somebody posted that Warped Wing was for sale in Mason. And I don't know if I responded or not. I probably should have. But I think somebody else did, or multiple people probably did, that Warped Wing is not for sale, that the building that Warped Wing is in is for sale. And that is when everything kind of came together for me, and I connected the dots, and I figured this whole thing out. And my theories about Big Ash and their future of Big Osas, my theory came together. So hang with me here. I have a theory. We need another sip of beer for this. God, that's good. Oh, it's so good. Okay. My theory is this. So in the same way that Warped Wing is not for sale, the building that houses Warped Wing is for sale. It's been for sale. It's whatever. Warped Wing's not going anywhere. They have a long-term agreement, a lease agreement, to be in that space. So whoever buys the building inherits that lease agreement, and they're going to love that, and it's going to be great. Big Ash has a very similar problem. Their building was for sale. I believe, and if I'm putting everything together correctly, their building was for sale. And again, I'm making some assumptions, and I'm connecting things that that I believe, that I think, some of them that I know, and then some of them from this conversation that I had with a named person. I believe that the purchaser of the building, the space, the walls that house Big Ash, the purchaser is the person that owns the Roses up the street. I believe that they intend on moving La Rosa's from up the street to the building that now houses Big Ash. What that doesn't answer is what the future looks like to the space. I believe I have a theory that, and this is 100% me just throwing spaghetti at the wall and envisioning what Big Osas could become, which is this is what I'm calling it. I think at some point, look, I don't want to say that Big Ash goes away, but I could see, and I mean, let's put it this way. Maybe everything works fine with a brewery and La Rosa's coexisting in the same building, and it works fine. And this pour your own beer concept, which I don't think I've been shy about saying that I think it's stupid. I don't want somebody else to, or I don't want to pour my own beer. I want somebody else to pour my beer for me. Chris says it took me way too long to get the Big Osas. Yeah, I'm working on the idea. I think that maybe I'm going to word it as in some other location, some kind of La Rosa's owner sees this and they say, okay, like this is working okay, where we've got a brewery and this really incredible pour your own beer wall and La Rosa's coexisting. What if we just kind of remove the brewery concept from it completely and we put a La Rosa's and a pour your own beer concept in the same building? What if we try this? People like to pour their own beer. It's fun. They like to pour their own beer and get their own pizza from a window. We could do this with La Rosa's. I envision at some point this will appear I'm going to say somewhere. Somewhere this concept will connect, and there will not be a brewery. There will be a La Rosa's and a pour your own beer concept that live in the same building. If you guys kind of catch where I'm going with all of this. I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's bad for La Rosa's, as bad as you can do for La Rosa's. The pizza sucks. But as bad as you can do for that, I think it's bad. I think it's bad for the consumer. Okay. Let's go down that rabbit hole for a minute. Pour your own beer. Big Ash is fine. I've had great beers at Big Ash. They do have great beers. I'm not gonna say every beer they make has been a home run for me, but they've got good beer. I hate when I, and this has happened. This scenario has happened to me. I have walked into Big Ash. I have walked right to the register, just held my card out. The person has taken it, scanned it, handed me my little Big Ash card. I've turned around. I've walked over to this pour your own beer tap wall monstrosity. I have scanned it, poured myself a beer. I have sat at the window. I have drank said beer watching the sunset, which is, it's a great place to watch the sunset if you've never tried that. I have gotten up, scanned it, got myself another beer, drank my beer, watched the sun continue to set, nodded my head and said, you know what? This is a great place to watch the sunset. Then I've gotten up. I've gone to the register. I have cashed out. I have tipped somebody for something. I don't know what. I don't know what I was tipping for. I guess somebody carries the dirty glasses over to the dishwasher. Maybe that. I don't know. And then I have left and gone home and not talked to a single person. And I don't know. I don't know why we want that. Maybe this, Chris says I tip myself 75%. I think that maybe this is like a sign of what's happening with younger drinkers, that they want to go places and not talk to people. Maybe that's what this is made for, is like young people, and I'm evidently not young anymore. I guess like it makes me feel old because I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like there's even like a little bar over there, and they have like booze and stuff. And sometimes there's a bartender, and if you sit at the bar, even if you're not drinking booze, you can talk to somebody. But like other than that, like there's just nobody to talk to. Everybody's like in their own little pods of people, and they just like I don't get it. I go out to drink with other people. If I want to sit and pour my own beer, and sit and drink by myself, I'm just going to do it right here in my basement. It doesn't make any sense. It seems so simple to me, and it seems like something that everybody would agree with. Steve says, you're so right. Talking to the bartender, the people around you are why this community exists. Yes. It seems so simple to me, but like the amount of people that I've talked to that are like, oh yeah, I love going to those places. I love pour your own beer. You can drink as like, you know, as little or as much as you want. And it's really fun. Look, I get that side. I get the idea of like, if I want to drink 4 ounces of something, I can just pour myself a little 4 ounces and nobody's going to judge me for drinking 4 ounces or tell me, oh, sorry. You know, we don't do 4 ounce tasters here. You gotta drink 8 ounces. There's none of that. And I appreciate that side of it, but come on. Like what are we giving up for the freedom to drink 3.5 ounces if that's what you want? Like it's missing the point. Guess what? You can go home and you can get a can of something. You can go to your favorite beer store and get a single. And for probably the same price or cheaper than what you would pay for those couple ounces at a pour your own beer place, you can get yourself a can of something. And here's an idea. You don't have to drink the whole thing if you don't want to. You can sit at your own, you can build yourself your own little bar in the basement. It's not that expensive. You can sit at your own bar and you can pour yourself 3.5 ounces if you want. And you can pour the rest down the drain if you want. It's okay. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to say anything, because just like that pour your own bar, there's nobody else here to tell you anything. There's nobody to talk to and nobody to judge you. I hate it. I hate this about where we're going as a drinking culture. I hate it. I despise the idea of disconnecting with each other. That's very anti-beer, very anti-drinking. I don't like it. With that being said, I respect you, Big Ash, and I wish you the best. And I enjoy sometimes going there and having a beer, especially if I've got a large group of people that I'm going with or something. Like, that's fine. We can work it out. But Chris says, mix them all up. All right, now we're getting into something fun. So yeah, you can run the suicide, hit them all, hit everything down the line, mix all the beers. That's fun. Steve says, someone sees efficiency as a business by removing labor dollars, but kills the business by removing the heart of what they actually do. Yeah, like, I'm not going to say there's no heart in a place like Big Ash, because there is. There's people there that believe in what they're doing. But when I go there, I don't feel that heart. Like, I assume it exists. It's just been separated by, like, 9 different walls that are put in between me and the person that made my beer. Maybe that's it. There's walls that have been put in place between me and those people. I don't like that. I want to experience something with somebody else. I think that's part of why I love this Monday show with you guys. Like, I've been wanting to try this beer. This is the first time that I'm trying it. And being able to try it with you is way more, like, I could, like, if this was, like, a Monday, like, 10 years ago, and this show doesn't exist, the blog barely exists, all of that stuff, I could sit at my bar, and I could sit down here, I could put something on TV, put some music on or whatever, I could sit down here, I could crack this beer open, I could pour it in my glass, and I could drink it, and I would love it just as much. I would be like, oh my God, this beer is so great. And I'd turn to the person next to me, and it would be like a gnome, like just a ceramic gnome, just standing there with his rake. Just no connection. I would much rather sit here on a Monday night and drink with you rather than than this guy. Like, this guy's great, Travelocity gnome. You know, like, he's great. He looks very happy. He's got his hands in his pockets. Like, man, whatever you want to do, me and you, we're on a journey together. He doesn't care. But there's no connection here. It's like cold, dead eyes just staring. He's actually looking kind of up, too. He's never really looking at me. I have to, like, turn him like this. Oh, and then that's scary, because then he's got his little hat's, like, pointed at you. Like this, he's kind of, I don't know if you can see that, he's kind of looking up, and you got to, like, turn him like this, and now all of a sudden, let me see if I can get him angled right, now all of a sudden he's looking at you, but he's also pointing at you. It's like he's ready to just spear you right in the heart. Yeah. It's much more fun to drink with people than gnomes. Let's see. Sorry, I got a little distracted there, guys. Chris says, I love a good bartender. They're better than therapists. I have followed my favorite tender to 3 different places. I agree. Sometimes there's some therapy to it. I think of it too, like, as like sometimes bartenders fit, like, different experiences for me. Like, there are some nights where I need somebody to talk to. There are some nights where I need somebody to guide me towards some kind of drink experience that I'm looking for. Sometimes I need somebody to, frankly, entertain me. Like, I need somebody to carry on with somebody else to give me something to pay attention. I need to hear a conversation or whatever it is. Sometimes I just need somebody to be there just to drink with me. Like, there's just so many different situations that I need a bartender to be a part of. And a great bartender fills all of them. A tap wall can't do that for me. Marco says, if there were two grocery stores next to each other, one had only self-checkout and the other had people working the checkout, where would you go more often? Ooh. Okay. This is a hot take. If I'm choosing just based on efficiency, I'm actually choosing self-checkout. I know that that's not the right answer. I know it's not what people want us to say, and I know that's kind of anti everything we're talking about. But I don't go. That's not even true. When I'm just buying groceries, I don't go to the grocery store to interact. I go to the grocery store to buy stuff. Now, I want to buy my own stuff, and I like picking up my own food. I like smelling my own produce. I like seeing the meat that I'm buying. I like interacting with my food. I don't care to interact with my my checkout person. With that being said, I do go to the grocery store sometimes to interact with people. Jungle Gyms is close to me. I go there to sit and have a beer and talk to people. I also think that sometimes I will go to the grocery store that does not have self-checkouts just because culturally and personally, I'm kind of against this idea of us getting rid of people that that do certain jobs because there's an easier way to do it, if that makes any sense. But if you're just asking me what my preference is, I'd rather check myself out. If I'm just buying groceries, that's my stance. Julia says, now, if they ordered pour your own or the option to have a bartender, more like a server, come to your table to get your drinks for you, cool. You can stay introverted. Go, yeah, like I'm fine with that. That's fine. Choose your own adventure. Steve says that self-checkout never works right and always needs someone to check the bagging area. It drives me insane. Yeah, that's true. I don't want to interact with them, but I always wind up doing it. So most of the time, if I'm going grocery shopping, if I have a choice and I'm making my own decisions, which is a very rare thing in my life, it feels like sometimes, if I'm making the decision, I'm going to Jungle Gyms. That's where I do all of my grocery shopping, all of my buying. Beer buying gets split up between a couple places, but groceries, I still go to Jungle Gyms. I love it. It's close. I like the shopping experience. And there are no self-checkouts at Jungle Gyms. So I most of the time do not have to worry about this decision. However, every once in a while, I have to go to Kroger. I don't want to. I don't like Kroger. I don't like the shopping experience. I think the aisles are too small. I think the place feels like some kind of robotic. It just doesn't feel good shopping there. I don't like it. And when I go there, I'm usually getting just a couple items. And if I'm just getting a couple items, the self-checkout can sometimes work pretty good. If I'm getting a big order of something, it never works. I do have to call. Somebody has to come over. Always. Bagging errors. Chris says, I'm often at the store after a 12 to 14 hour day and cannot be bothered to be checking myself out. Aldi is the best for this. Yes, Aldi. Yes, but then you got to bring your own bags and stuff. Like, that sucks too. Chris says, I refer to those attendants at the self-checkouts as lifeguards. They're lifeguards that just have too many people in the pool to watch at the same time. There needs to be more lifeguards. I don't know. Like, groceries and checking yourself out, I think, is a whole different experience than going to a bar. I think it's crazy. I imagine that there were people at one time that would have said the same thing about a grocery store, or would have said the same thing about pumping your own gas, or not having a person at the gas station that checks your oil or your wiper fluid or whatever. We just slowly move further and further away from all of these things until at some point they're all going to be gone. There's going to be no such thing as a bartender. I don't want to think that day is going to come eventually, but the more I think about it, there's no reason that it wouldn't. That's where we're moving. And it's not Big Osa's fault. it's our fault. It's our fault for encouraging this culture. It's not our fault. It's the kids. It's Gen Z, what are they? What are the kids now? I don't even know what they are. Whatever this generation is that they don't like to hang out with each other, it's your fault. You've done this. This show will live on forever, and you can go back in time, and you can see that I'm telling you this was your fault. You did this. It's all right. There's still time to fix it. There's always times to fix it. You can solve the problem. Open a bar with an actual bartender. Go out in your robot world and your self-driving cars and open a bar where there's actually a person behind the bar that recommends a drink to you, serves it to you, and then afterwards talks to you about your day. It's a crazy concept to you in the future, but you can do it. That's all I got for you guys. Big Osas, Mark Anthony, Eric Brune, Boozy Licorice. Evidently, Urban Artifact can make a good beer. Tell you what, let's recap. What did we learn today? We learned that even though Urban Artifact likes to make fruited sour beer, that doesn't mean that that's all that Urban Artifact is capable of doing, is making fruited sour beer. Evidently, they can make regular beer that tastes great. We learned that Eric Brune tastes like someone lit my candy on fire and then shoved it down my throat. And I like that, evidently. We learned that Big Osa's is just a sign of the future. And the future is okay because we can undo it in the future. What else did we learn? I don't know. I learned nothing. I never learn anything in my life. All I do is make the same mistakes over and over and enjoy it because that's fun. What else could be more fun? Steve says, God, interacting with actual people will be a retro bar. It will be, and we'll all be bellied up next to each other talking about how back in our day, this was normal. And there'll be like awkward kids coming in. I don't know how to deal with this. But it'll be cool to them because it'll be retro. I appreciate all of you guys. Thank you very much for hanging out and making this a... And Julia says, I learned that the bucket of mystery or ice water works to quick chill your beer. Yeah, it did work really good. Like, this beer is nicely chilled. And it only took like... I don't know. I don't have a clock in front of me. I can't see what time it is. I have a watch on my wrist. It probably like took a half hour or so to chill it down to proper temperature, but I think that that's reasonable. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff that I do, please go to thegnarlygnome.com/support to support this show. We'll do it again next week because I think this is kind of fun, and I think I'm going to kind of make it a thing. I think that someday this might actually become a show. Stay tuned for that. The show that is not a show that becomes a show that then becomes not a show that becomes a show again. Maybe. Whatever. We'll see you next week. And I appreciate you. Oktoberfest Quest, I promise it's coming. It's there. There is so much Oktoberfest in my house. I'm pretty sure that probably after this beer, I will only drink Oktoberfest for the next, like, 2 months. That's probably the way my life is going to go. It's a lot of Oktoberfest. We'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you. I did also fix the outro music. I just haven't put the outro music into the recorder so that I can hit a button. I'm going to do that after the show, too. I'm going to fix that right now. Better outro music next week. Cheers, everybody.